That's a rough start.
You got me way too excited.
All right, good. Excitement for Torah. So Hashem is Tavshin Ayin Dalet, Parshas Tazria, Shabbos Chodesh. Shabbos Good Shabbos. It's the piece of Hashem from Tav Resh Nun Aleph. But we are in Tavshin Ayin Dalet. So after Purim, a person takes off their costume. And we said a couple of times, the whole avodah of costumes on Purim is not the putting on of the costumes, the taking off of the costume. When you take off the costume and you realize that maybe there's something underneath that I never realized. It's an adlo yada, something about myself that I never knew before. So let's talk about taking off costumes. Taking off layers and layers and layers and layers of ourselves until we find something that's unbelievably profound, that's hidden deep inside of ourselves. V'yom ha-shmini yimol. We learn the sugya of Bris Mila, this week's parsha. V'yom ha-shmini yimol. What's the source for Bris Mila in the Torah? It's not what happened with Avram or Yitzchak. It's a pasuk in Parshas Tazria. This is the source for Bris Mila. The mitzvah of Mila is our parsha. V'yom ha-shmini yimol. V'medrash tanchuma. V'shahish Rabbi Akiva ma'isa basar v'dam na'im. When Rabbi Akiva was challenged by a certain troublemaker, what's better, the creation of Hashem or the creation of man? And there's multiple accounts of this medrash. Hashem only makes the wheat, but we turn it into bread. Hashem made man imperfect, and we give man a bris mila. Lo nidnu amitzos el etzarif habrios. The mitzvos were given, says the medrash, only to refine a person. Meaning Hashem is, of course, the greatest creator of all. And the behaviors and the efforts of man are nothing compared to Hashem. And yet Hashem set it up in such a way that man would have to work on himself. He'd have to fix himself, to correct himself. Bris Mila. But Bris Mila that we do for an 8-day-old baby is just the beginning of a process of what? Of peeling back layers of self. The Isa ain't sur kelokeinu. The Pasuk says, in Shmuel Aleph, there is no sur, there is no rock like our God. And the Gemara in Brachos and Megillah Darshan's ain't sayar. There is no artist. Such a beautiful Gemara. There's no artist like Hashem. Why is Hashem the greatest artist of all? Hashem's the greatest artist of all because as someone whose wife is expecting told me recently, he went to the doctor and he saw a 3D image of his child for the first time. And he said it was the most magnificent thing in the world. When you finally realize that, yeah, I know there's a baby inside, but when you actually see that there's like a human being growing inside of another human being, it's a wild thing. And that's what the Gemara says. Ein tzur kelokeinu. Hashem is the greatest artist because we can't even create one thing. We can't even take a little bug and bring it to life on our own without Hashem's help. What does Hashem do? Hashem is sar tzura b'selch tzura. Hashem creates one living being inside of another living being. Hashem creates a baby inside of its mother's womb. A tzura b'tzoch tzura, an image within an image, a picture within a picture, layers upon layers. Think back to the fractals that Rabbi Kahn was talking about when he was speaking about the snowflakes that time. So says the Sfas Emes Perush, shenimtza ba'adam kama madregos shiuchala adam lotzia mikoach lapal. The idea of tzura b'tzoch tzura is really just the beginning of the story. It's tzura b'tzoch tzura b'tzoch tzura b'tzoch tzura b'tzoch tzura. There's layers upon layers upon layers upon layers upon layers. And therefore, the more costumes you put on Purim, the more costumes you get to take off after Purim. And the more we start to peel away the layers of ourself, starting again from the bris mila, the peeling away of the arla, that's just a remez that a person has to constantly be digging deeper. Kamosha kasim, like it says in Zohar Kadosh, Zacha nos telo nefesh. If a person's worthy, he dips inside himself and he finds a place called nefesh. If he's zocha yasir, if he's more zocha, nos telo ruach neshama. He's zocha to higher levels of spiritual existence. He taps into his ruach, he taps into his neshama. If he's even more zocha, so then he taps into chay and yechida. There's layers upon layers upon layers within ourselves. Ula olam tzarach liyosa adam poshei tzura vilove tzura. And a person has to strip away one layer and then be prepared to wear something new. Like Rav Weinberger was saying this week. The idea of being born to something new and something old is dying, leaving something behind. You put on a new outfit, you leave the old outfit behind. And then eventually that outfit that you're wearing now is also going to be stripped away for something more, for something better. So where does this whole process begin? So Sasemis, it begins with an 8-day-old baby having the first layer of himself removed. the peeling away of the gashmias in order, in a very gashmi part of the body, peeling away of the gashmias in order to what? To come to a place of ruchnias. V'az yuchal lesgalos atzura b'pnimis. And through that process, he begins a lifetime of what? Of searching within himself to remove the outer layers of ourselves. Gemara Makos tells us in Daf Yudam and Beis that there are many paths a person can choose in life. And that's part of what the message of Tzar Tzur B'Sof Tzur is. There's a lot of versions of ourself. There are layers upon layers of versions of ourself. I don't remember those books, Choose Your Own Adventure, where like it has multiple endings, and you decide, like, if you want to do this, turn to page 73. If you want to do that, turn to page 85. 85 is Matcha Milo. Alright, turn to page 85. Just, I don't know. I wasn't planning on saying it, just get out though. 73, what's 73? Chachma. Chachma is Gematria 73? Chachma. Chachma. Okay, good. Numbers mean things. So there's a lot of different endings to the story. You choose how you want to go. Right? They are all realistic possibilities. So the same thing is true within ourselves. There's a tzura b'soch tzura. There's layers upon layers, and we have to choose which version of ourselves do we want to be. Says the Gemara in Makos, Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna, Va'amrila Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Elazar, Mina Torah, Umina Neviim, Umina Ksuvim, B'derech Sha'adam Rotza Leilich, Ba Molich Anosa. The path that a person wants to choose your own adventure, whatever path you choose for yourself, Molich Anosa, they will lead you upon it. And it brings a proof from Torah, and it brings a proof from the Navi Yeshaya, and it brings a proof from Ksuvim and Mishlei. Oh, Rav Shlomo, welcome. It brings a proof from all different areas of Torah. This is an absolutely true Torah principle. There are different options. And the path that you choose, Hashem is going to, the choices you make are going to play itself out over the course of your life. L'mashal, let's just look at one. Torah, d'chsev, lo seilech imahem, uksev, kum lechitam. Bilam is told, don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Okay, you want to go? Fine, so go. Kum lechitam. So at the end of the day, if you want something enough, Hashem will put you on that path. The path that you've chosen for yourself is the path that you will be led upon. But what does it mean, molichin? Why is it in Lashon Rabbin, molichin oso, they will lead him? Who's the they? So there's a marsha on this Gemara in Makos, which relates to the marsha we were learning in Shabbos, Lamed Beis, yesterday. The marsha even hints to the fact that this is a theme that he likes to talk about. The angels that we create through our actions. Says the Marsha, I'm sorry the print is so small. Bedera page 3, Bedera Shadam wrote a Lelech Molichin Oso, Ayin Bezeb Mepharshim, Va'anet Gam Ani Chalki. The Marsha. What's the Marsha's name? Reina Rav?
Adel.
Shmuel Adel. Because his mother in law, Adel, paid for his yeshiva to function for 20 some years. Good. So it says in the Svarim, what does it say there? I'm going to say my portion as well. Deloka amar shem molich oso HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela molichin oso. It doesn't say he, Hashem, will lead him. It says molichin plural oso. They will lead him. V'hu al pi ma shekasavnu b'kam makomos shekol machshava v'dibor u'maisa. He says it even stronger in the Pirkei Avos itself. He spells it out. He says every single thought that goes through your brain, there are malachim bursting out of your mind every second. A machshava tova is creating good malachim. Machshava ra is creating bad malachim. Every dibor, every word that comes out of your mouth, angels come flying out with every single letter. Right now, there are angels flying out of my mouth. There are angels flying out of your ears with every thought that's passing through your mind and passing through your lips. For every maisa that a person does, machshava dibor maisa that a person does, hinehu bore lo malach lafi inyano im letov im lera. And yesterday we saw the Marshal was trying to figure out how can you have a malach that's tov and ra. That was our problem yesterday. The Marshal himself said we can come up with an answer. The choice is given to you. Free will. Who's they will lead him. The choices we make put us on a path, and we're supported. We're walking. We have an entourage of angels, either good or bad, helping us to reach the various possible endings of our own existence. And again, there are many, many layers that a person could choose to be. Everyone knows the story with the Netziv when he put out the Hamak Shela, and he got everyone together, and he said, "What I could have been." But he wasn't joking. He could have been. He could have been the simple shoemaker who learned a little Ein Yaakov and some basic works of halacha, and he would have gotten to Shemayim and he would have said, "What's with your svarim?" Right? And he could have said, "Well, you obviously tzar tzura b'tzav tzura. There were many options for me, and I chose this one." And Hashem said, "Yeah, but that wasn't the best choice. there were many more layers that you could have worked towards. And the tzaddikim understood that. The tzaddikim also had to work through layers. It wasn't that a tzaddik is born a tzaddik. A tzaddik is simplistic. It's simplistic holiness. It's not true. A tzaddik is also very complex. But he dug down deeper and deeper, tzartzura b'tzartzura, until he found the deepest version of himself. We quoted this once before, but it's Kedai Rechazer. The Pachad Yitzchak, the famous letter, Igros Uksavim, number 128, where Rav Yitzchak Hutner, Zatzal, speaks about the danger of simplistic biographies of Gedolim. Whether it's a simplistic picture of a Gadol in our mind, or whether it's a simplistic presentation, a book that presents a Gadol as if he was perfect from the day he was born. And Rav Hutner says it's very destructive to think in that way. There's a great illness that exists amongst our people. When we try to understand the sugya of the Gedolim, we encounter immediately, right, sort of the punchline. We see the Gadol as he appears in the picture on the wall. The picture of the tzaddik. In my sukkah, I always hang pictures of Gedolim when they're young, when they look silly and like ridiculous. And then you actually think, wait, maybe I could be a Gadol too. They look normal. Not when you see the Hadras Panim, the Shah. Again, these pictures of Gedolim, I mean, they were already very big people when they were 20 years old. But just to see them without a beard and to wear like a silly tie and, you know, or a silly hat or hanging out with their friends. And you start to see that they were once human beings. And then it becomes inspiring. It's nothing to be afraid of. The world is afraid to see a picture of the Baba Trevi without his yarmulke. For me, it's very inspiring. His passport picture without the yarmulke. It means, yeah, that one time the Baba Trevi had to take off his yarmulke for the government. And he looked like a young person. And then, you know, I see him with his suit overlooking that bridge. Right, with his gray hat. It's inspiring to see that there's a process of becoming, there's layers, there's tzura b'toch tzura. We always focus on the Gadol when he's a Gadol. We skip over Diluk. We skip over the inner struggle that they had in their souls. We make it as if they were created by the hand of Hashem. Perfect. But Hashem doesn't create that way. The godless of Hashem is that he creates what? Layer upon layer. That Hashem allows us to be part of the process. Bris Mila, the first thing that we ever did. Layer upon layer of our own existence. And that's the mistake, that we sometimes paint the Gadol as being simplistic in His holiness. Hakol misochachim, mispalim, umarivim, al nes, as tara salashin shabbalach avitzchayim, that's how everyone talks, and is very much mispal, we're very taken, we're captivated by the purity of the Chavetz Chaim's speech. What do we know about the battle the Chavetz Chaim had to wage within himself to attain that level? The struggles, the mistakes along the way, the falling out, the times that the Chavetz Chaim himself stumbled. And again, we're not, God forbid, speaking Lashon Hara about the Baal Chavetz Chaim, right? But we're painting a realistic picture of a Gadol who we see in a perfected form. Hanesigos Lachor. How many times he had to retreat and renegotiate with the Yetzer Hara to finally get past him? This is one out of 1,000 mashalim I could give you for tzaddikim, for gedolim, who worked on themselves to achieve it. But I just found recently, I don't own the sefer, the Das Torah from Rabbi Yocham of Mir. It was too good to pass up, so we had to supply it even without the Tzuras Hadash. I don't own the Das Torah from Rav Yerucham, and in the Otzer HaChachma, you're not allowed to, it doesn't let you print the page as it is, we have to do a little cut and paste, but Baruch Hashem, he says, it goes beautifully with what Rav Hutner's saying. The story of the Chavetz Chaim is painted by Rav Hutner in that famous letter, the Pachad Yitzchak, Igros Uksavim, is very similar to what Rav Yerucham writes in Parshas Vayetze in the Das Torah. And he says a person has to have the drive, the resolve of the Chavetz Chaim to get the job done. You have to believe that there are layers. You have to know that Hashem created tzura b'toch tzura. But then you have to be passionate enough to dig inside of yourself to believe that this is not the end of my adventure. If I chose a certain path, so start the book again and choose a different path. You have the ability to choose. Naftuli Elohim naftalti imachosi gaim yacholti. Now this word Elohim, or Elohim, it's a little bit of a question actually, what it is. Naftuli Elohim niftalti imachosi. You could say it's Elohim, as in strong, mighty. Right? Naftuli Elohim Niftalti. With great perseverance, with great battle, did I battle against my sister, Gam Yecholti, and I was successful. Who's this talking about? Uvarashi nisakashti viftsarti pitsiros viniftulam harbe lamakom. I had to battle very much. Right? Many, I pushed and I pushed in order to get to where I needed to be. Now, why am I saying it's also Elohim? Because if not Naftuli Elohim means I battled the divine, I battled God. So on some level, the pshat is I fought a great battle to become choshev in the eyes of Yaakov Avinu, but I also battled with Hashem, that Hashem should give me children, that I should have a place. Right? The end of that Rashi is Leos Shavalach Osi, that I should be equal to my sister. Gam Yacholti, says Rashi, Hiskim Al Yadi. But because I fought, I won. Says of Yerucham, Zatzal Mimir, Loan the manu mikan shnei enyanim ha'echad ki b'inyanei ruchnias mutar lola adam lesakish. When it comes to matters of ruchnias, when it comes to gashmias, we have to compromise. The mezuzah on our home reminds us that when you walk into your house, there are things in the house that have to be, there's a time and a place for compromise in the life of a Jew. But there's also a time when it comes to inyanei ruchnias, when it comes to matters of the spirit, it's okay, it's mutar for a person to be uncompromising, to be stubborn, to be obstinate, to say, I'm not going to back down. Hello, Rasa ki Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo rotza latein labanim. She saw very well that Hashem didn't want to give her children. Vehi lo ischasho bezeh, she wasn't impressed by that. I don't care what you say, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I know I want children for the right reason, and therefore I'm going to fight you. Ela nevka b'chol kochosel lahasig es ma'avya. She fought for her taiva, for her desire. She said, I'm going to battle you, Hashem, until I get what I want. Because I know that if I fight, you'll give it to me. So number one, first of all, you're allowed to fight in Inyani Ruchnias. That's number one. But furthermore, says Rav Yerucham, when you do fight and you go above that which you're naturally capable, you try to find a new layer of yourself inside. In the end, you're zocha to win the battle and to be successful. And that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin means when it says chutzpah klapi shmaya mahani. Fighting against Shemayim is allowed, and it works, and it helps to battle Hashem, to be chutzpah towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeidazek kol adam asher harbe pamim roa adam kama ikuvim min Hashemayim omdim negdo bilimudav v'chol inyani avodaso b'kodesh. Every single one of us knows full well that when we want to grow in our learning, we want to grow in our avodas Hashem, there are many things that get in the way. There are things that try to trip us up. There are compromises that are offered to us by the Yitzhar himself along the way. Don't be bothered by them. Don't give up. Don't decide to stop and say, this version of myself is good enough. It's not true. It's Sartzura B'Tzotzura. As long as you're going to peel away a layer, you'll find something new. That's the Metzias of Hashem created you and created the world. And Rav Yerucham says a few paragraphs later, again, the same mashal that Rav Huttner gave. We think that the Chavetz Chaim had it easy. But the Metzias is that the Chavetz Chaim became the Chavetz Chaim Rak Hodot thanks to his stubbornness. Achshav kisherot zalis l'Eretz Yisrael. For example, in our times, Rav Yerucham said, when the Chavetz Chaim intended to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he was stopped. Something happened that prevented him from going to Eretz Yisrael. So I thought for sure the Chavetz Chaim is not going to try again. He told, think of it as a sign from Shemayim, it's not meant to be. And you know, many of the Gedolim told him, it's not meant to be. There were discussions between the Chavetz Chaim and the person who gave the Chavetz Chaim smicha, who was 25 years younger than him. Who's that? Who wrote the Chavetz Chaim smicha when he needed a document to prove that he was a rabbi? Who gave him smicha? Needless to say, the Chavetz Chaim didn't really need a, like, you know, he didn't have to go to the Chag smicha to get a smicha. Right? But who gave the Chavetz Chaim smicha? I don't know. Who was the chief rabbi of the world, of European Jewry at the time? Of Judah, good. Who else? Who else? Rav Chaim Moser. Rav Chaim Moser Grudzinski. Was 25 years younger. That's not what he would have done to Judah from Judah Israel. Rav Chaim Moser was 25 years younger than Chavetz Chaim. And he had to write, he had to prove to the government, in case you're not sure, in case you can't tell, by taking a look at him, by the way, the Chavetz Chaim on his passport, he should say Rabbiner. He's an ordained rabbi. I'll write him a document to him. Because Rav Chaim Moser, I guess, had better standing with the local officials. So he had to prove that the Chavetz Chaim was in fact a rabbi. Okay, good. Fine. So Rabbi Yochum said, I thought that the Chofetz Chaim was going to give up. Kirei roa ki min ha-shamayim ha-akim oso. And again, many of the Gedolei Ador, told the Chofetz Chaim, you belong not in Eretz Yisrael. And maybe he saw a simanim from Shemayim that it's not meant to be. All the efforts to get there, he was blocked along the way. Aval kosvu li, but it was written to me, Shachofetz Chaim zal kores chosno, u'masr moda b'funav. The Chofetz Chaim told his dear relatives, he gathered the mishpacha together, and he said to them, listen, I want you to know very clear. He gave a moda, he summoned them, and he said, I know that the Baal Davar is trying to get me, but the Baal Davar also knows, shelo yifol klum etzli, I've taught the Yitzhar many times, he's not going to stop me. And yes, so I'm going to go. Kodem Shidfi says the Mishnah Berurah, Kara Etzlo, Mikra Nora, Rachman Al-Aslan, says Rav Yerucham, you think it was the first time the Chofetz Chaim ever fought against a Yitzhar, where there was many things getting in his way? Before he put out the Mishnah Berurah, a terrible, terrible tragedy happened to the Chofetz Chaim. She'acher b'mekomo ayin nechrov legamri rak mi mikra zobavad. Someone else in his place would have been ruined permanently. I don't know what situation he's referring to. I'm not sure what situation he's referring to. But the Chofetz Chaim encountered something which for the average person would have broken them completely. And the Chofetz Chaim didn't stop him. Ulogam oz master modava amar. Sheyuchal yos chas v'shalom od yosera. I could handle much worse than this. Who meaning the Yitzhara, lo yifol etzli klom. Doesn't the Yitzhara know he can't stop me? Doesn't he know that I have this midah akshanus, that I'm going to fight a Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'gam yecholti, and I'm going to win? I'm going to finish what I began. I don't care about the difficulties, the challenges. The Mishnah Berurah has to be. And because he believed that it had to be, it is. And it's obviously one of the most accepted works of halacha to this day. That was the world in which the Chofetz Chaim was created. And why do we fall short of becoming who we're supposed to be? Says Rav Yerucham, simply because we're way too soft on ourselves. We don't challenge ourselves. We don't believe that there are layers within ourselves, and we don't push ourselves to discover those layers within ourselves. There's an ideal picture of how Hashem wants each of us to look. Before we were born, Hashem created an image in Shemayim, a tzura, to parallel the tzura of ourselves down below. And many of the nisyonos, many of the struggles that we have in this world are dafka to get to that tzura. We couldn't get there with that simplest. That's what the Pachid Yitzchak is saying. Not only was it not a simple path for the Chofetz Chaim to become the Chofetz Chaim, but he dafka couldn't have become the Chofetz Chaim if not for that struggle, the peeling back of the layers. Bris Milah hurts. Kishem Shenichlas Labris, the Leiv Simcha, the fifth Gaon Rebbe said, Kishem Shenichlas Labris, just like you went into the bris with blood, with screaming, with Mesiras Nefesh, with pain. Ken Yichanes Latorah L'chop L'maisim Tovim. You should be able to fight your way. That means you have to fight for Torah, you have to fight for myself. You have to fight for chuppah. Okay, yeah, if there's a girl you really like, you have to fight for her. You have to fight to get that date with that girl. You have to fight. If you care enough, you're going to make it happen. That's that midah v'akshanus. And if it's for ruchnias, if you like the girl because you think she's your soulmate, not just because you think she's pretty, if you like that girl for the right reason and you fight for it with Messiah's Nevet, you're going to get it. It'll work out. If it's l'shem shemayim, if it's meant to be, and you fight through those nisyonos, you will get what you desire. Says the Or Gedaliah in Parshas Lech Lecha. What's the whole nature of a nisayon? What does a nisayon do to transform us? A nisayon helps us to find that ideal version of ourselves. Asar nisyonos nisnasa Avram Avinu. Olav Hashalom. Va'omid b'kula. Lo'odia kamach yibasso shal Avram Avinu Olav Hashalom. Avram passed the 10 tests in order, lo'odia, that it should be known how beloved Avraham was. What does that mean, lo'odia? Lahavin atachlis hamarutsa beilah nisyonos yesh ladas ki mitchilas b'riyas ha'olam hayel lamalitz yir shel Avram Avinu. There was a picture of Avram Avinu that preceded the world, as we know from Chazal. Elu told us Shemayim v'aretz b'hi baram. Chazal say don't read it b'hi baram, rather rearrange the osios be'Avraham. When Hashem created the world, there was a picture of the ideal Jew, the ideal version of Avram, the one who's going to discover him. There was an image, a tzura, in Shemayim of what Avram looks like. And then Hashem sent down, right, through the olamos, through the spheros, the neshama of Avram, beguf, the nefesh into the guf in this world. And then Avram has to start working his way back up, layer after layer after layer, to come to that vision of Avram that exists on high. The Avram avinu nivraim kochos gedolim. Kochos ki'ilu sheyet. And Avram had within him buried within him the deep ability to become that picture of Avram on high. But the avodah of Avram, the life of Avram, was getting there, was uncovering those layers of potential within himself. To take it from potential and to bring it to reality. And that's what a nisayon is. Those walls that try to block us, right, are really just a mirror image of what's going on inside of ourselves. There are walls, there are layers. And you have to knock down the walls. You have to peel away the outer klipos to get to something more pnimi. Lahotzi elo kochos min hakoach elapol, to climb over those walls, to get into a deeper level. Vanisyonos hayu kadei lahar misadam. A nisayon is meant to lift a person up. Kamo shepirshim bafarshim, that nisayon is a lashon of a nes, a banner. Harama, elevated, lifted up. Milashon nes. Nesles gnosis. A banner to be raised. By passing a test, you become elevated. It's an opportunity. And with each test, Avram became a deeper version of himself. It's a whole different take on Sartzur B'Tzov Tzura. It's not just that there are layers within ourselves, right? There's the version of ourself here, and then there's versions of ourselves that exist outside of ourselves that we're trying to line ourselves up with. And what is the final version of me down here? Right? To which version, which possible ending of myself and Shemayim is it going to align with? The highest version of Avram. Could he attain such a thing? Says the Medrash, on the top of the left column. It says in the Yalkut, Mashakosav Yitzhak Akeda. When the Malach calls out by Akeda Yitzhak, Avram, Avram. Not many people were zocha to the dual title, where your name is called twice. Avram, Avram. Says the Medrash, Avram Le'ela, Avram Le'tata. Avram above, Avram below. What does it mean? Explains Or Gedalia. Perish, Sha'acher Sha'amud bin Yisayon Asiri, Hu Yisayon Akeda, Kvar Haya Matim Tzuraso Shal Avram Avinu Bo'olam Hazeh, Im Tzuraso Lamala, Sha'od Miyuad Lezeh Mitchilas Habriyah. When Avram achieved that place of Avram Avram, that the Avram down below looked exactly like the Avram that Hashem wanted them to be on high. And again, there's a very few people in history who achieve that degree of aligning oneself below and on high. But at least to begin that process that began when we became Jews, when we got our bris milah, when we peeled back that first layer to look for something deeper. And that's again the process we continue over the course of our life. The name that a child is given by his bris milah, Rabbi Schnell pointed out to me, a footnote in the Or Gedalia in Shemos. He says at the top, in the name of the Sfas Emes, Shemos, Taf Reish Nun Gimel, on page 7, Kimasha Kosav Eitzel Avram. What it says by Avram, the pasuk that we say is part of Pesukim in Zimra, the Pesukim in Sefer Nehemiah. V'samta Shemo Avraham U'matzasa Es Levavo Ne'aman Lefanecha. What does it mean? V'samta Shemo Avram. Hainu She'Avram Vinu Olav Shalom Nimshach Acher Shemo. Avram was drawn after his name. Name, of course, is the person's potential, the essence of who they are. Shemaisav Hayu Matimim L'Shemo. That Avram lived up to his name. We talk about a person that has a good name, a good reputation, called a good name. A good name means that I'm living and achieving my potential in this world. V'zeavodas kol adam lios nimshach achar shemo, to be drawn after our name. V'samta shemo Avraham shemaisav yatimu im elu kochos shenivra ima, to try to live up to who we are. So Rosh Hashanah pointed my attention to this footnote here, number 6. A beautiful thing. What does it mean when we say kishem shenichlas lebris ken yichanis l'tor l'chupa l'maisim tovim? So says the Or Gedalia in the footnote. Maybe Rav Avram Shor said in the footnote, I'm not sure who wrote this footnote or whose idea this was. The reason a child gets a name at his bris milah, the name at the moment that you're having your, it fits so beautifully, at the moment that you're peeling back that first layer, we're assigning you, but there's many more layers. There's an essential self that you're trying to achieve, that state of Avram Avram that we're all working towards. V'nikvalo Hashem kefi Hashoresh shelo. V'lachein mevarchen hayeled kishem shenichlas lebris kein yichanes. Haino, she'im Hashem hazeh shenichlas lebris. Kishem, with the shame, with the name, with the awareness of your essence and your potential that you feel right now. B'shas bris milo. And again, we understand this footnote better with our Sfas Emes from Tazria. With the same effort to peel back that layer, to come to something more essential. Sheperusham, who shenichlas lebris, with your shame, imkol kochos, imkol ha'aros sheyeshla. The same way right now you're being given your mission in this world with great clarity. The baby is crying out, Gevald, look what I could be. That's why the baby's screaming at the bris, whether he knows it or not. He's screaming, wow, I thought when I was in my mother's room, that womb, that was the ideal world. And I came out to this world and I said, Gevald, I was crying because I couldn't believe that there was more. And now my bris meal, I'm crying again because I couldn't believe that there's something more. And Kashem, with the clarity that he has, when he receives his name, his essence at the bris, Mevarchen oso, Shebeshorish zeh in kol hakochos, Yichanis l'Torah u'l'chopol u'maisim tov. With the clarity, and with the absolute awareness of your potential that you have right now, as you receive your name, as you're being blasted, as your soul is being infused with your mission, with your name, Hainu sheyizke lo tziyam kol kochos of l'idei poel, at shemaisim mat'inim l'shavam. Until you achieve that state, that perfected state of Avram Avram. Sometimes we have to mechazik one another. You have to tell someone this. A person sometimes, you see a friend who you know has more potential, they get stuck along the way. And you say you're wasting your life, like we learned in Lekat Amar, right? To give tocha to a person, to try to guide them. And it's hard to tell a person, you're not the best version of yourself. What do you mean? You don't know me. But you look at that person, you see, I know you could be bigger, you could be better. You're only giving 50%. You're not achieving your shame. You're not achieving that state of Avram Avram. You're not peeling back enough of those outer layers. You're still living a chitzoni existence of yourself. Rav Simon quotes in the Imre Baruch and Parshas Naso, a beautiful var from the Chassam Sofer. He writes, at the bottom of the page, page 8, Uvenosaf lezeh, matzinu gam kein mechitzos eitzel la'adam beino levein atzva. Exactly like we said, the walls. The walls, the nisyonos, the layers that exist between a person and himself. A person doesn't have a clear sense of self. I know who I am. There's a girl who, every time I speak at Stern, she comes over to me afterwards. She likes to talk. And she always says to me the following lashon. She always says, well, I know myself very, very well. She always says that to me. She said, I know that I have a certain degree of emunah. I know that I have a certain this. I know that's good and it's bad. Right? It's good to be self-aware. But sometimes we try to say to ourselves, I know myself, when we dafka don't know ourselves well. We're scared to find out who we really are. Right? We should have a certain confidence in knowing ourselves, but there's also a danger of trying to know ourselves, thinking that we know ourselves so well. And sometimes a person, I know myself, and your friend looks at you, and the outsider is able to look at you and say, you don't know yourself. I can see something in yourself that you yourself can't see. So what do you have to do? You have to sometimes tell your friend, you could be bigger. I see layers beneath the surface. Go tell the people who are very wise. Tell them what? That they should prepare the big day kahuna. Va'asu is the big day aron l'kacho l'chano li. But says the Chassam Sofer, b'libos ha'anashim chachma netua. Every one of us has tremendous wisdom inside of ourselves. Im yavo mishi ya'ora malzeh. But sometimes it takes someone to wake you up to that. Yotzi ha'matmon ahu v'yigal le'en kol. V'im lav yeh ne'alam. But sometimes if someone doesn't tell you, it remains hidden within yourself. Kigar gir hazarua, like a seed that's been planted. Shim ya'ader v'yachrosh yitzmach. If we plow, if we sow, it will develop, it will grow. But if you don't tend to it, if no one's working on it, your cub, it will rot. The seed could sit there and just rot, unfortunately, if it's not properly taken care of by someone, mibachutz. The seed can't take care of itself. So too, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Lioski hu yisparach mi leosam chachma slave." Moshe Rabbeinu, there are people in the world who are filled with wisdom, but they don't know it. V'tzricham lemishi orosam v'yodim zek de lahutzi chachmasam atakua b'kalach lapoel. But sometimes we need someone to awaken the person to that potential, to say to the person, "This is not. You're not doing this right. The job that you've chosen for yourself is not for you." The girl you're going out with is not for you. The shiur that you're in, or the amount of time you're putting into the shiur, is not what you think. You think, I'm giving it my all, I'm trying my best. It's not true. You can do better. Lizeh Omer, look what Chassam Sofer says, it's so beautiful. Va'ata tadabri al kol chach meliv. Moshe is told, go tell the smart people. Go tell the smart people. Umata tadabri alayim, what should you tell them? Go tell them, Asher melei sevru al chachma. It's not like the Pasuk Pshat is, that the Pasuk says, go speak to those who are filled with wisdom. No, go speak to people and tell them they are filled with wisdom. Go inform them. Go inform them who they are. With this declaration, then they can begin the process of creating begadim of Kedusha. Then they can realize that those outer layers, which they thought were the essential self, are really just layers of Kedusha. And peel back that layer. If you understand it as a transient, as a passing time of one's life, then it's Kadosh. But if you think this is the be-all and end-all, you're like a seed that's being left in the ground to rot, God forbid. You know, a person gets to the Olam HaEmes. Chazal described, you know, we try to speak in Pnimiyas HaTorah, we talk Divrei Chasidus, which has a very different way of speaking than some of the Baalei Mussar and the Baalei Machshava from the different worlds. Right? The Chafetz Chaim himself had a different way. The Chafetz Chaim's way of being mechazik was more of the Yeshiva Shevelts way, which is much more heavy-handed. It's much less chizikdik, it's much more rooted in the world of Mussar. It wasn't as much in tune or in touch with a certain positivity that's found in the writings of Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim. But the Chafetz Chaim's reality is also an important reality. And the Chafetz Chaim writes in his Likutei Halachos. What was the Likutei Halachos? Chafetz Chaim decided, I'm going to write a book to fill, I'm going to write a sefer, that fills in the sections that the Rif didn't write on. The Rif wrote, right, the Rif is called the Halachos sometimes, the Rif in the back of the Gemara records the bottom line Halacha from every sugya. But he only did it for the sugyas that were Nogei Halacha L'maisa. He didn't write on Kodshim. So the Chafetz Chaim said, I'm going to write on those areas that are only Nogei, to Inyanei Beis HaMikdash, to Kodshim. And it was somewhat controversial, believe it or not, even as someone as great as the Chafetz Chaim, they said, who are you to fill the void that the Rif left? Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi, 1,000 years before you think you're going to take over for him? 900 years after, Chafetz Chaim says, I know that some of you don't think I should be doing this, but I think it's very important that we should understand the Maskanas HaGemara. The Rambam, after all, wrote on everything. And the Chafetz Chaim says, I'm going to write my own version. It reads like the Rif on the Masechtos of Kodshim. But there's several hakadamas that he has that are all very beautiful. There's hakadamas, there's psichas. In the end of the psicha, he writes the following. Let's read it, the arrow up top. To realize that there are differences between one person and the person next to him. The difference between a person who learns something 100 and 101, like the Gemara says, "Dainu bein lashona pirko kuf pamim lashona meyo pam ve'echad yanikar hevdel." When a person gets to the world of truth, he's going to realize, "I also could have gone for 101. I could have tried a little harder." V'hainu shi'anikar al or panav kaniskar el. You'll look at your friend's shining face in the world of truth, and you realize that could have been me had I just pushed myself a little bit. The kol shekein im yadiv echad al chaveru bechelak echad mechelkei haTorah asher lechaveru yachzor zeh bevaday yanikar al panav or hahu harbe vechaveru yisbayish meor panav. And all the more so if there's a whole area of Torah which you neglected, you never bothered to study, and you get to the next one and you see that this person is shining with taros, and you're only shining with zram and moed. You never learned kachim and taros, and you're going to feel badly about it. Again, this is more the language of the yeshiva shevet, but you feel bad. You feel bad. You're going to feel bad. You're going to feel jealous of someone else's kedusha. It's true. It would be written differently if we're reading a sefer of chasidus. V'kol shekein im nishma so haitzim madrega achas. And all the more so if a person failed to achieve who he could be because he was simply being lazy. How embarrassed, how upset is he going to be with himself? That the chisaron hazeh halo chisaron nitzchi. It's an eternal mistake that he's making. And he's not going to have the chance to fix it, because when Mashiach comes, there's no longer that free will, there's no longer that struggle, says the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, fine. Quoting a few Mamari Chazal. He's malakin a few Mamari Chazal first. But look what he writes in the footnote. And in the footnote, he tells us the story of Zusha. Why weren't you more like Zusha? Everyone knows the mice of the Rebbe Zusha. Rebbe Zusha used to say, they're not going to ask me in Shemayim, why wasn't I Moshe Rabbeinu? But they will ask me, why didn't I achieve the best version of Zusha that I could be? Why was I satisfied with a superficial version of myself? Says the Chafetz Chaim, a beautiful diok in the footnote. Haga, v'hu b'dimyon mash matzanu. Lazakenim shvimei Yoshua, kemosha amru pnei Moshe kpnei Chama pnei Yoshua kpnei Levano. There's a Canaan from the time period of Yoshua and Moshe. We know Chazal tells us that Moshe was like the sun, and Yoshua was like the moon. Zekanim shemedur hayu omrim, and the zekanim from that generation would say, "Oy lanu meoso busha, oy lanu meoso klima." Woe to the shame, woe to the disgrace. Chafetz Chaim says, Chazal don't waste words. Why does it say busha and klima? What's the busha? What's the klima? Shemati da kavana. The shame busha eino dafka mevnei ma'isim she'eino mehuganim elefanim nikrazem ma'ashemesiga adam busha mevnei gadol b'mayla she'eino erech elav v'misbayish meromus madrigaso. A person comes before a tzaddik. You go and you watch this Duchina Rebbe dance on Sukkot for hours, and you see, you just see, you're in the presence, you know that you're in the presence of a person who is mamash not in this world, and you feel embarrassed. You're just embarrassed of who you are compared to him. That's busha. That's called busha. And it has a place. It has a healthy place. It doesn't mean you should be a Baal Divyon and think I'm the next Duchina Rebbe. I'm the next Gadol Hador. You come before Reb Chaim Kanievsky and you're trembling to stand in his presence for all of 10 seconds. Right? And your mom is, you're shaking from it. Right? That's busha. And that's important. That doesn't mean you should be a Baal Divyon and think you're the next Reb Chaim Kanievsky. What's klima? Klima speaks to us in a much more personal way. Says the Rebbe, you don't think the Rebbe Zusha trembled thinking about Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rebbe Zusha trembled when he thought about Moshe Rabbeinu. But what Rebbe Zusha says, the ikker is what? Is why wasn't Zusha more like Zusha? What's klima? Says the Chafetz Chaim, where it's underlined. About inyan klima hu inyan cherpa she'odem nechla midavar shu pasha ba'atzmo b'maisav mekukal. Klima is when I look at myself and I say, they're not going to ask me why I wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. They're going to ask me, why wasn't I Zusha? Why wasn't I Moshe Tzvi? Each one of us has to ask us, why wasn't who I could have been? And he lost it batzlusa. That's what it means. When the Zekanim of that generation came before Moshe and Yeshua, they said, woe for the busha, woe for the klima. What does it mean? Pnei Moshe, neged pnei Moshe, ha'im isbayishim migodol ramamuso, she'in lam erech klalei lav. When they came before Moshe, they were trembling, how embarrassed they are. That there are tzaddikim that are so far beyond us, has nothing to do with us. There's a Moshe Rabbeinu who spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu pe'al pe'. Panim el panim. But what about Yeshua? Yeshua was one of them. Yeshua was from that same chevra of the Zekanim. And Yeshua worked harder to spend time with Moshe Rabbeinu. And the klima was the awareness that we couldn't be Moshe, but we could have been Yeshua. We could have spent time by Moshe Rabbeinu's feet like Yoshua. Why couldn't Zusha be more like Zusha? Yoshua attained a certain madrega because he worked at himself. And those chachamim from that generation realized they could have done the same thing. They were Yoshua's level. They could have been that. And they chose not to be that. And that was the failure of that generation. That's the klima. And that's what we have to be much more afraid of. The busha that I wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. So come be yourself to Moshe. There's never going to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. But to be the best version of ourselves, that's something we can be. I want to just be Messiah with the words of Rav Avram Shor and a little quote from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Shor said that he saw in a sefer written by a young bacher, an avreich, a young man. He doesn't name the sefer or the avreich. He says, I saw a wondrous thing. We know that everything that we encounter in this world is teaching us a lesson. So why is it, the sefer apparently asked, why is it that we cry when we peel onions? It's a musar. It's a lesson. This is what Rav Shor writes in the Leil Shabbos Kodesh, Volume 1, Parsha Shmos, three lines from the bottom on page 10. Lama anu roim, kasher chotchim batzel ba'im dimaos. When we cut open an onion, all of a sudden people start to cry. Halama aminim b'nei aminim anu, ki kol davar ba'olam, top of page 11. Hagashmi, hu b'mechuvan, she'yachol ha'adam l'ma b'menu, drachim b'avodas Hashem. Everything that exists in the world is to teach us something. We don't cry when we cut an apple. Why do we cry when we cut an onion? Gaval the question. It's not by chance when you cut an onion you start to cry. So says Rav Shor, I saw in the sefer from this avrich. Each of the rotations of the heavenly spheres. which contain the stars and the planets. Kochavim, for the, in the Lashon Ram, I think means planets as well. It doesn't just mean the stars. Everything of the outer spheres. Nechlak ha-galgalim arbe. Each of these, whatever the Rambam understood about astronomy, about the heavenly spheres in his time, he says within the eight, you know, whatever rotations on high, there are many, many layers of rotations. Zelamal mizeh. And the Rambam says it's kamo gildei betzalim. It's like what? It's like the peel, the layers of skin, right? The outer shell that you peel away, and then the layers upon layers within the onion itself. Mehen galgalim sovim bimar of the mizuch. There are those that are rotating, that are spinning in a western to eastern, you know, rotation. Some rotate from east to west. Like we find by the ninth of the, again, whatever these things meant, whether they're absolutely true scientifically today. Right? Okay, whatever the Rambam understood, and whatever more we understand about the rotation of the heavenly spheres today, there's a lot of stuff going on up there. And there's layers upon layers of universes, of galaxies, of all sorts of heavenly rotations. The kulan ein b'nei amakum panoi, and they're built layer upon layer upon layer upon layer without any space in between. Umatzinu lashon zeh sharakiyam heim kegildei betzalim bezar kadosh. We also find this mashal of the layers of an onion compared to the layers of the rakiyam, the outer spheres of the heavens. We find the Zohar Kadosh Parshas Bereishis and many other places in Zohar Kadosh. Nimsa ki abatzel hu mashal alamos rakiyim. So the onion is the reminder that there are layers and there are layers. There's tzar tzura b'sof tzura. There's layers upon layers of existence. V'kadosh baruch hu nasan b'teva ha'olam ki be'esh ma'avirim gildei ha'betzalim bam lidei demos. Why did Hashem make them? When you cut the onion, you start to cry. K'dei la'ora adam ki koach ha'demos ha'im la'avir gildei ha'betzalim ba'olamos da'inu she'bekoach ha'adam levo al'idei demos l'makom achi gabalam. Says Rav Shor, not exactly the way we would have ended the piece, probably. But he said it, this Bacha wrote in the Sefer, the idea being that when we use the power of tears, there's no door. Right? The Shari Demos are lo din alu. The gates of tears are never locked. The power of tears is the ability to transcend all of the layers of existence. You can reach the highest heights with tears. But based on what we just saw in the Chafetz Chaim, and I'm sure many of you are thinking, yeah, I'll say Pashat the opposite. Not the opposite, I'll say different. Right? Why do we cry when we cut the onion? We cry when we cut the onion because we realize I could have. There's so many more layers inside of myself that I'm not working towards. There's layers of existence within myself, and I cry over the fact that I should cry. I could be better. I could be bigger, and I have to use that motivation, those tears, those bitter tears that we cry as we look out at an onion which is built layer upon the tzura b'tol tzura b'tol tzura b'tol tzura to inspire ourselves, to cry, to challenge ourselves to be a little bit better. I want to end with the words of Rav Soloveitchik. In a volume they put out a number of years ago, Abraham's Journey, the Rav quotes the following from a French writer. The famous French writer, Romain Rolland, describes how restless Beethoven was in his youth. From early childhood, Beethoven used to hear melodies. He would say there was an orchestra hidden somewhere, under the table, behind the curtain, in the attic, or in the oven. He always heard beautiful melodies playing and he thought it was somewhere outside of himself. The orchestra was indeed an orchestra, but it was hidden in him, not outside of him. Yirtz Hashem, we should all be zocha to begin that process in the Parsha of Bris Mila, where it all began, where our lives began, to go back, to think, this week's Parsha, to think a little bit, as we come to Parsha Zachodesh, the Indian of Ischadshus, to challenge ourselves to create a new version of ourselves, a better version of ourselves, an Avram Avram version of ourselves. At least to be Yeshua if we can't be Moshe Benu. And Yirtz Hashem, if we make that effort, we'll be zocha to find the orchestra buried deep inside of our neshamos.